Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Something grow, yeah. We're all
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist Dr. David Sanford, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show, fresh back from China, Dr. Mark Kiefner, psychologist and clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. We had an extended version of the Farm Song by Megan Jo Wilson today because I had tried something new and put it as the intro to the show, and it ended up being quite extended. So sorry about that. Or if you really like the song, which I love the song, you got to hear the whole version of it, which is great. I love it. Anyway, hi guys.
Hi. Hi Jim.
Yeah.
Hi Jim. Hi David.
Hi Hughes.
Okay guys, listen. Last week without you, Hughes, we started into a subject called Is Divorce the Solution? And we picked off some, David did actually, some possible problems leading up to a divorce or the decision to get divorced, and that is fighting all the time, incompatible goals, betrayal, an affair or someone lying, I'm not in love anymore, marriage is dull and boring, or I met someone else. And we were just starting into some possible solutions last week. You want to add something to that, David, or in terms of what
I think you hit the list. I'm sure there are other reasons for getting divorced that people
sure.
abuse, but that's the ones we talked about.
Right. So now we're into some solutions. We talked a little bit about that last time. And then you had some more directions we were going to go after we talked about solutions. Do you remember what that was, David?
Well, do you remember where we were on the solutions, or were we just beginning that?
We were just beginning it. We were talking about, you know, maybe talking about the issue in a different way, getting help from friends, getting some professional help, you know, finding ways to make the relationship more interesting, changing some of the ruts that you'd gotten into. That's about as far as we got, as I remember.
Okay, here's a couple of ideas that maybe we haven't covered. The first one, which I think is certainly worth repeating if we didn't say it before, is just looking at divorce as the solution to a problem is an excellent beginning idea because it forces you to ask yourself, what is the problem, really?
Right.
And then, because I think there are a fair number of occasions in which people are emotionally so caught up in the whole issue by the time they reach divorce that they can't think critically or analytically about it and you know, can't regard it as a problem to which there may be other kinds of solutions. One that I think we may have mentioned, but I'll repeat it again really quickly, is to sort of neutralize, sanitize the issue. Don't make it so much an issue of conflict between people as look at it in terms of what are the skills that are missing here that get us into so much trouble over and over again without blaming either one of us for them. What do we as a couple just not know how to do very well?
Right.
And if you take a skills orientation, then you can begin to think about what could we do to get the skills that we don't have without blaming each other for the situation.
Yeah. Hughes, do you think we missed something or some things that you wanted to add to either of those lists, the problems leading to divorce or the solutions?
Well, jumping into this discussion a little bit late, what I'm hearing, which is really interesting, is that you know, the topic is divorce the answer? What I hear is that the word divorce can be an answer to get things rolling towards a healthy marriage. That the threat of divorce may be a call to action, a wake-up call of sorts, to kind of sit down and really start talking about some stuff, to reach out to get some skill sets to preserve a marriage that may not know how to do it. So that's kind of what I'm hearing, which is really an interesting twist on it, because sometimes by the time a couple gets around to putting the word divorce on the table, there's so much water beyond the dam, there's an assumption that we can't pull this thing back, that there is nothing left. But actually, it may be just the beginning of creating a lot for the marriage.
Right. Right. And you've got to do something new, because obviously what you're doing already isn't working, or isn't solving the problem. Another thing I think we mentioned last time, there were two things. One was, reading. And I mentioned a couple of books, Getting the Love You Want by Harville Hendricks and The Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. That can get you to thinking in different realms, thinking of things that you hadn't considered before in terms of, like you said, David, what skills you need or, what's going on. And I think if each person can look at themselves in terms of, they may need to change, rather than looking at, my partner is not what I want, or doesn't participate in this marriage the right way, or is negative to me or mean to me, etc. You can't. It's much harder to change the other person than it is to change yourself. So sometimes reading can give you some ideas about what your part might be in it, what you're not seeing, what you're not doing, etc.
Well,
and the other thing you talked about last time, David, was the.
Can I throw something in about before, but just on what you just said, real quickly?
Okay, sure.
The point that you made about a willingness to look to your own behavior and take responsibility for your own behavior, I think, is so incredibly important that it really requires underlining. And when people are just all pumped up to get divorced, they often, I believe, do not think nearly as rationally as they need to about what the psychological and financial cost and general disruption of a divorce is going to be for the two of them, and if they have children, for the family as a whole. So before getting to that point, an absolute requirement is that whether with your partner or by yourself, with a helpful person, you say, what is my part in this situation? In what way have I contributed to the difficulties that I'm willing to get divorced about? And, you're just flat out irresponsible if you're not willing to do that.
Right.
There.
And I think, especially important, if you have kids, because it's not only disruptive and expensive and painful and whatever for the adults involved. It's a lot of stress and strain on the kids, and that doesn't mean if you have to get divorced, you have to get divorced, and the kids are going to be hurt. But you can make sure they're not damaged. But it really is incumbent on you to think seriously about all the different solutions that you might come up with that really work for you before you consider the last one, which is divorce. It reminds me a little bit of when someone is contemplating suicide. I mean, that is a solution, but it's a very permanent solution to usually a temporary problem, and that hopefully can focus the mind on, okay, what is it I need to do different? What are some other options? What are some other solutions before I take the ultimate one? And then the dissolution of a marriage, a divorce, is the ultimate solution.
Part of the ironic part here is that there has to be a level of pain to motivate people to start looking at their stuff. A lot of times couples get to this point with finger pointing, I'm not happy because, or you never, or why don't you? But that piece that you were mentioning, David, around a willingness to look at your own stuff and take an inventory, it almost requires a certain amount of pain by some people, and then a willingness to kind of say, oh, what is my part here? And that's not always easy to do. I mean, you know, we need some trusted folks in our lives to give us some objective feedback at times and an openness to, you know, kind of move in that direction. So it's a hard piece. That's all I'm trying to highlight here. It is a hard piece to get to.
Right.
And pain is a door opener.
Exactly. Focuses the mind.
Yeah, there you go. That's, yeah.
Right. So I was going to say a minute ago, David, another way we were talking about you know, dealing with the impasse that's come up, you know, where things are pretty negative. You were talking about I think it was called a split freeze, and where the couple you know, separates. And doesn't deal on the with the issues for a while, to calm things down, to, you know, to take a breather, to take a break, to get more centered in terms of then trying to come back and work on the problem. You know, the John Gottman talks about you know, the inability to solve problems. And it's sort of a real mini split freeze in that if either party's heartbeat is over 100 beats a minute, he's found that nothing constructive happens. So when that happens to one or both of the partners in trying to deal with something, when they discuss it, their heartbeat is getting elevated, and 100 beats a minute is not that much, that they take a time to calm down, maybe, you know, separate from talking about the problem, get their heartbeat back down, and go back and try again to talk about it. Because then, when you're calmer, you're more likely to think of ways to deal with those problems and find creative solutions. So, those are two ends of the spectrum. One is taking a big break, and another is taking a lot of little breaks in terms of talking about the problems, finding ways to be creative about what to do, about what your difficulties or differences are with each other.
A few more words about the split freeze, if I may.
Sure.
One of the things that a split freeze does is it changes the context, so to speak. I mean, in many divorce situations, two people are locked in conflict with each other. And the fact that they are doing that day after day is making the situation so much more difficult. A split freeze basically changes the context altogether. It gets people living away from each other. It gets people not dealing with each other. And, you know, there's all sorts of details to be worked out about the kids and about money and who's in the house and who isn't and all that kind of stuff. But with the split freeze, both people generally are in counseling with the same person who sees them both, but sees them separately, working on their own contributions to the problem and what conceivably they could do to make it better. And then in a while within the split freeze process, the couple begins to meet with the counselor again, and gradually they bring whatever insights and discoveries they've made to each other in a structured situation.
Mm-hmm. So possible solutions or ways to approach the problem? You got anything, Hughes, on that? Anything more?
Nothing on the top of my head right now.
Okay. David, you had a sort of outline of where we were going. What's next after we talk about the solutions?
Well,
you don't have that in your notes.
Prayer,
yes.
Prayer.
Yeah.
That could be
another solution. Actually, I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm depending upon whether, you know, you're a religious person or not, I'm sure that prayer in many situations, particularly if it's a kind of prayer that asks the deity to get on your side, so to speak, about the other, but ask for strength within yourself and a willingness to look at your own behavior. So, indeed, I'm quite sure that prayer, or another possibility, and that is to be in some kind of pre-divorce group, if you can find one. Or you don't have to, referred to as a pre-divorce group. What, Jim?
I was going to say, I think, you know, for people who are not religiously inclined, I think meditating on the issue, you know, really contemplating it in a more spiritual way, or journaling about the issue, you know, and trying to use that to come up with ideas and solutions that you haven't thought of. So in a very meditative or prayerful or journaling kind of state, you can be looking at the issue and come up with maybe different approaches. I think we have Dr. Kiefner with us, or it's a caller. I can't tell which. Hello. Is that you, Dr. Kiefner, or is that a caller?
Hey, Dr. Weaver.
It's Dr. Kiefner.
Can you hear me?
Who is a caller?
Who is a caller, yes.
How are you guys? Hi, David. I'm actually still in China.
Well, you still are.
You are.
Yeah, I'm still in China. So, but I started off listening to you guys for a while, and then I thought I didn't want to have a 30-minute phone bill from China, so I hung up, and I kind of came back in just 2 minutes ago. So the theme today seems to be divorce and how to reconcile that.
Yeah. The topic was is divorce the solution? And we've been talking about, you know, the lead up to divorce and then the possible solutions other than divorce. So,
I mean, what struck me, I had a couple of different things that were hitting me. One thing is that what struck me is that in this conversation, there's this, always this tension between sort of the thinking part of ourselves and the feeling part of ourselves. Funny, I'm holding my phone in one hand and then the other hand at that point. And so there's always that sort of way in which these decisions are so much emotional. And as David, I think, was saying earlier in the conversation, people are sometimes so wrapped up in their emotions, they don't have a sort of a cognitive or thinking perspective on the issue. And I don't have a giant bit of brain science for you on that one, but I think your other comment about using meditation, or David's comment about using prayer, all kind of common ways through time of quelling our brain's emotional reactivity and being able to enter a state where we're less connected to the emotional aspects of a problem and more connected to some bigger picture view of the problem. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah.
There's a no. Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Go.
I was going to say real quickly that all of the ideas that we have for alternatives to divorce basically point out the fact that you can't get there from here. I mean, you can't be in the problem and have the solution at the same time. You have to move somewhere else, so to speak. You know, whether that's physically move somewhere else or move to a different point of view, deal with it differently, bring somebody in who may have insights that you have to have, but you have to step out of, you have to change the context somehow in order to find a problem if you're just sunk in it.
And I think as part of that, to do that, you have to step outside of yourself. You have to step outside of the perspective of this is all about me, and be able to see things from the other person's point of view or the other person's sense of feeling also.
Right.
And that's very difficult to do when all that exists is your hurt or anger or rage or disappointment or sadness. So it's a very good point. And I don't think you can do that when you're in an emotional bind or an emotional hole. You really have to find some cognitive way. And those strategies like meditation, prayer, group support, all very useful. So I'm totally in agreement with you guys today.
Hey! Finally!
Finally!
What happens with your mind? Everything, you see things from a different perspective.
Yeah, I think this China trip's been good for you. You can now agree with us.
I'm so sleep deprived, I'd agree with anyone at this point.
All right.
So I'm going to go to bed since it's like 11:30 at night here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Travel home.
See you guys next week when I'll be back in the States. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
So I want to just say one thing about, before we end, because we've only got a couple minutes here, about, you know, if you decide that divorce is the answer, especially if there are kids involved, try to do it as respectfully as you can. And try to find a way to keep the kids out of the middle of it. And deal with any conflicts that you have between the two of you. And if you're getting divorced, you're probably not very good at handling the conflicts between you. But again, remember to have some kind of a buffer between you and the kids in terms of working those things out. This is not their issue, and they're significantly affected by it. So if you can give a lot of consideration to what you're doing is having an impact on them, and try to make it the most gentle impact you can. That goes for when you're talking about whether you're going to get divorced and if you decide to get divorced. Both. Got to think about the kids.
Indeed.
I just like the idea that the word divorce could be a call to therapy, a call to change, a call to rescue a marriage versus get on that fast track and get that snowball rolling down that direction of divorce. It doesn't need to end in that. It can be a wake-up call.
Great. Thanks. I think that's a good. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and having Mark call from China, this truly is an international show.
That's right. You can't get much more international than that, I don't think.
And in English, too.
In English, too, yes. So I'm going to let that be the last word, and we'll get out of here. I have Megan Jo Wilson take us away with Take Me Away, and we'll see you next week with more Darn Guys insights into life, love, and the pursuit of a good life. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.